Well, Dee, we had fun last night at our game night fundraiser, playing trivia and some playing bingo and Jenga and some of the other great games there. It got me thinking about another game. It's a game called Would You Rather. Have you ever played that game, Would You Rather? It's a fun game. It's not the sort of competitive I'm going to win versus you win sort of game. It's really, I think, a game designed as a discussion starter, a way to get folks talking and sharing who they are a little bit. It works this way. There's a series of choices given to you, forced choices. Would you rather this or that? And you can't say both or neither. The idea is to make a tough choice and to choose one or the other. And sometimes they're both great things. And you'd say, boy, I'd love to do both, but okay, if I had to choose, which would I rather? Or sometimes they're both awful. And you have to decide which is less awful to you, right? So here's a few examples this morning of would you rather. Perhaps as you hear the question, think about them briefly, and then you can turn to your neighbor in the pew there and tell him which one you would rather. Like this, would you rather be alone for the rest of your life or always be surrounded by annoying people? Which would you rather? It's interesting to think about that one, okay. And if the person next to you is the one you think of as the... don't say that. Don't go there. All right. Would you rather never use social media sites or apps again or never watch another movie or TV show? I hear most of you are like, social media, whatever, I can give that up. Yeah, not a hard choice. Some of these hard, some not so hard. All right. Would you rather have an easy job working for someone else or work for yourself but have to work incredibly hard? Easy job, someone else, really tough job, work for yourself. Which would you rather? You discern. How about this one? Would you rather find true love or a suitcase with $5 million inside? That might bring up some other discussion further along. Who knows? Yeah. These are kind of fun choices, right? These would you rathers, and they go all over the map and all sorts of things, and we could go on and on. But it brings up this idea of these choices we're faced with, forced choices, and having to decide which one would we rather. Well, it came to mind for me this week because the passage we're coming to today as we sort of wrap up the Sermon on the Mount, it seems Jesus is presenting stories with choices, kind of an either or, a would you rather. Here's a few that he gives in the last portion of Matthew chapter 7. Let's hear these words. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." And he actually goes through a series of some other sort of choices, options. And then he wraps up with these verses we've heard sometime before, I imagine. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And then we get sort of this author's note. "Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, gracious God, we come before you exploring these words, these choices that you have given, how we might respond to you, how that would impact who we are and our lives before us. Lord, help us to hear your Spirit speak in these moments, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So indeed, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and here Jesus is presenting some choices. This is, if we think of the Sermon on the Mount, we can think of it as his greatest speech ever, his most significant moments of teaching. And we've walked through several portions of that the last few weeks, and now he sort of culminates with this parable, this idea, a choice. What will we decide? You and I live with choices all the time. Jill brought some of them before us this morning with the kids. What are we going to wear this morning? You all made simple choices. What to put on, what not to put on, what to eat. It's Final Four March Madness time, so many of you have made some choices not too long ago. You chose Virginia to go all the way. I'm sure that's what Jill did, yes? And she might be right. There's a lot of us who made other choices along the way, and we are wrong, right? There are simple choices in life, little choices we make all the time, and they don't necessarily have this major bearing on our life. But then there are the big choices, of course. There are some of the significant choices we make along our journey of life. Choices about careers, relationships, goals, dreams, ideologies, philosophies, ethics, all these things that guide us. These are big choices, and they, of course, shape us in the journey that we walk. When I was in high school, freshman, sophomore in high school, I looked at the future ahead of me, and I thought, you know, I think I want to be an architect. I liked architecture in general, seeing different structures, buildings, homes, that sort of thing. I took some drafting courses in high school and was getting along in drafting and getting more adept at that. I thought at one point that that's what I was going to do, and started to look at colleges and with the ideas of getting into architecture. That was a choice I began there. And then, there in the midst of that sophomore year, I was invited to a church youth group. I've shared this story before. It's part of my faith story. I made a simple choice, I thought, at the time. A choice to go to that youth group. Now, granted, it was a very self-serving choice. There was a very cute girl who had asked me to go to the youth group. And I said, sure. You're there. Yes, I'll be there. I had no idea what it was going to be about. I thought it was just a simple choice, chasing a girl. Just have to confess that, be honest. But of course, what God did with that simple choice was pretty miraculous and surprising, because there, as I went to that youth group, more and more, I began to discover this community of faith, this community of love and support and hope that I didn't know anything about before. And along the way, heard the story about Jesus, what the Christ had done on my behalf, what God was doing on our behalf, and I made a decision, a much more significant choice than I said, Lord, you've got my life. I want to give it to you. That was a pretty significant choice, and that, of course, changed the trajectory of my life. I every once in a while, you should sort of think back to those kind of choices, and you say, I wonder if I'd never been invited to that youth group, and I've never chased that girl, never said yes to Jesus, where would I be right now? What would my life look like? Would I be drawing, stuck in a cubicle somewhere, drafting, or drawing amazing architectural wonders of the world? I don't know. And I'm okay with that, because I'm happy about that choice, to say yes to Jesus. That's a significant one that has shaped my life. What are some of the significant choices you can look at in your own life? You think back over your journey, the road you've walked. What are some of those big choices that maybe even then you didn't know were so significant. Here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is offering up a would you rather, right? And he does it in a parable form. You know, Jesus loved to use parables, of course. So he ends his great sermon with this parable. And so we want to take a look at the parable for a moment and understand it for us. This would you rather choice. It's a parable about two houses. A house built on rock or a house built on sand. This is what's called a two-story parable. There are different kind of structures for parables in the ancient world, it seems. This is a two-story parable. Two parallel stories, two parallel images tracking along. And of course, the theme, the message, the lesson to be found in it is what is different within the two stories. So what's the same, though, in the two-story parable? There's some similarities. So of course, what's their first similarity? It's that we each, in our lives, build a house. Metaphorically, of course. Each one of us constructs a life. There's two homes in our parable. The given being that each one of us builds a house. The house is created by all the choices we make along the way. Those big choices and little choices. Each one of us building a house. What do you sort of see your house looking like these days? As you think of the choices of life that have brought you to this point. That's a given of the parable. Jesus is presenting to the disciples and all those listening, and to you and I, saying, all right, think of yourself now. Each one of you has this life you've created by the choices you've made. That's your house. And then, of course, he brings another constant, another similarity between the two stories. It's that there are and will be storms. Regardless of whatever our house looks like, every one of us will face storms in our lives, right? We know this. We've experienced this. We've gone through. We've weathered different storms in our life. Jesus holds it up. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. Violent, severe storms. Every one of us will face challenges and trials in our lives. It's the nature of a broken world. Not everything goes as planned, and so we will face storms. Many of you have faced significant storms many times through your life, and there are still more to come. It's another given of the parable that makes us lean into it and know Jesus is talking about us because, we face some storms in our past. Some of you may be feeling like, oh, man, I am in the midst of a storm right now, too, right? And we'd rather not have the storms. We'd rather see life ahead as a time when there will never be any more storms, but that's not our existence right now. That's not our reality. We know there will be storms. And perhaps right now you're thinking about what the last storm was for you. What was the last challenge, trial, difficulty you faced, crisis in your life? But then we see the parable turns, of course, because then we get the difference between these two stories. It's about the foundation of the home. What is the house built on? What is your life based upon, grounded in? And we have a simple image in the parable, either built upon what? Rock or sand, right? We can get that. As somebody who, again, was starting to draft homes and buildings and such, foundations matter. You take them into account. And Jesus holds up a very simple choice. Will you have a home or life built on rock or built on sand? And we get it. When you build it on sand, when the storms come, when the floods rise, what will happen? Collapse, right? The house will fail because sand is not a good foundation. But if it's built on rock, attached to the firm, solid rock, then a house built there can withstand a lot. As you came in, and on the front of your bulletin, there's an image of a house built on rock. So our image of our lighthouse here. This is a lighthouse off the coast of France called La Jumée. There are many lighthouses in this area off the coast of France. This is in the Celtic Sea, the western coast. It's treacherous. Storms come up and rage quite often. This, of course, is in calm waters, easy waters when it feels nice and there's clear sailing ahead. But more often than not, especially in the winters, storms roll up and there are big waves that crash. And this is perhaps the most famous photo ever taken of this particular lighthouse, because down there in the middle of it, at the base, there is a person standing there. Yeah, that's the lighthouse keeper, who came out one afternoon wondering why there was a helicopter circling the lighthouse. It was a photographer who was taking images of different lighthouses in the region, and a storm had begun to rage, and so he wanted to catch it in the waves crashing on the lighthouse. And the lighthouse keeper came out curious and looked up to see, and then realized, there's this giant wave about to crash on me. And he scurried back inside and was fine. Many people wondered for a while when they first saw this image. He was fine. But the storms rage, and if you see the next few images, that's the same lighthouse. And the kind of storms that it gets to be a part of, where the waves crash. And you would think it would just subsume that place. But it doesn't, because it's built on rock. I wanted you to get that kind of an image. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, build your house, your life upon the rock. You'll be able to withstand storms of immense magnitude. But what is that rock? What is that foundation that Jesus is calling us to? Well, it's pretty simple. He says it this way: everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. He says, everyone who takes me seriously and what I've shared about who God is, about the heart of God the Father, about the desire that God has for the kingdom of heaven to be birthed on earth. He says, all those who follow my ways, those are people who are building their lives on solid ground, on the rock. We sang about it in our first hymn, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." Jesus says, build your life upon me, and then when the storms come, and they will, it's not an if, it's just when, he says, you will have enough to withstand, because you're holding on to me. This is the would you rather Jesus brings to his disciples and to the crowd and to you and I. Would you rather build your house on the sand or build your house on the rock? When we build our house on the sand, of course, things don't hold. I had a friend I worked with many years ago. When he was in high school, he had a career path, a trajectory. He wanted to be a fighter pilot. The movie Top Gun had just come out. You may remember that one about naval fighter pilots. He was captivated. He, in fact, lived near the Air Force, or the base that where those Top Gun pilots train. And so all his life growing up, he wanted to be a fighter pilot. That is what he had built his life upon, getting ready for, training, preparing, studying to be a fighter pilot, which meant going to the Air Force Academy and then from there moving into fighter training. That's what his whole life was built on. And then he took the physical required as a part of the entrance exams for the Air Force Academy. And they discovered he had some issues with his eyes, color blindness challenges. He didn't have 20/20 vision. and that dream was over. You can't be a fighter pilot and have so-so vision, it turns out. And as he shared the story with me, he said his life crumbled because he built it on something less than Christ. It wasn't a bad goal. It was a fine ideal to strive for. But he just wrapped his whole life up into it. And when that choice, that option was gone, he didn't know what to do with life. And he wandered listlessly until Christ caught hold of him once again. And he said, ah, that's right. I missed the solid rock. That other stuff was just sand. The end of it all, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presents his people, you and I, with a choice. A would you rather. Would you rather live life more fully alive, as our author McLaren would write? Or would you rather settle for something less? Something less that will collapse under the weight of the storm. The choice is ours, friends. Would you rather? Well, Lord, we are grateful that by your grace, you let us live into the freedom of choices. And that before us, you set a choice on how we will live, what we will build our lives upon. Lord, you never overwhelm us, force us into this. You always offer and invite. So, Lord, help us to hear once again the invitation to ground our lives in you, in your teachings, in your ways, your kingdom personality, your kingdom calling. Lord, move us and shape us into people whose lives are built upon the rock. We ask today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, as we continue to worship the one who is the rock, we respond with the giving of our offering this day, tithes and gifts, a simple gesture in response to God's goodness. So come, let us worship.